And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, and welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West. Live, local, on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the Central Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society. With a little help from my friends, I'm your host for this half-hour excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Greetings, welcome, I'm glad you tuned in. You probably saw the article that has been making the rounds all over about how a recent Pew survey study, this is from the AP, Rachel Zoll reporting, Americans becoming less Christian, more secular. And that's pretty well what you'll run across the board. Between 2007 and 2014, when Pew conducted two major surveys of U.S. religious life, Americans who described themselves as atheist, agnostic, or of no particular faith grew from 16% to nearly 23%. At the same time, Christians dropped from about 78% to just under 71% of the population. Protestants now comprise 46.5% of what was once a predominantly Protestant country. Now, of course, secularists and their fellow travelers are ecstatic. This is from Mark Tooley of the Christian Post, a new Pew survey on religion and lament for nominal Christianity. Secularists, their fellow travelers are ecstatic. The secular utopia about which John Lennon crooned is impending. Christianity is finally dying. Some Christians who relish doom are bracing for collapse and the end times. Other Christians more thoughtfully point out that the survey reflects self-identification, not practice. And so, yeah, you have the decline of religion in America. Religion is crumbling as Christians are declining here in America. Over the last 7-8 years, 78% to 70%, just over 70%. The statistics are showing Christianity is finally in decline. Well, I guess it's been in decline for some time. And so, Christianity. But is it dying? Russell Moore, who is the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, he responded to this new Pew study survey, and he says it's good news for the church. He says, quote, Christianity isn't normal anymore. It never should have been. The increasing strangeness of Christianity might be bad news for America, but it's good news for the church. The major newspapers are telling us today that Christianity is dying, according to this new study. But what is clear from this study is exactly the opposite. While mainline traditions plummet, evangelical churches are remaining remarkably steady. How about that? See, that's what they don't tell you from the Associated Press. It's all about mainline Protestant churches have declined by about 5 million between 2007 and 2014. 13% of U.S. adults are former Catholics. And so there's been a drop of about 3% over the 7 years in Catholics, who make up about one quarter of Americans. But they don't talk about, at least I haven't seen it here, evangelicals, and how they have been maintaining, holding their numbers throughout all this. Christianity is not dying, Vincent Funaro, again from the Christian Post. Reports pointing to decline of church are skewing data, says Baylor University scholars. From the article, contrary to recent reports based on studies that emphasize the growth of non-religious people in the United States and the decline of church attendance, Christianity in America is not dying, according to a new survey that examines the nuances and complexities of how people self-identify with faith by Waco, Texas-based Baylor University. Scholars from Baylor University's Institute of Religion said during a recent conference that reports highlighting the departure of millennials from the organized religion of their parents are greatly exaggerated. So can we please stop talking about the millennials already? And by the way, I'm a part of that generation. The world doesn't revolve around us, people, even though we tend to be more narcissistic than previous generations. But in the words of Dr. Phil, if you're reading books of chemotypes, you would know it ain't about you. The data which examined religious affiliation from 2007 to 2014 showed that the shrinking population of Christians in the U.S. was due to the decline of Catholics and mainline Protestants. The number of people identifying as evangelical saw a very small decrease during those years, dropping from 26.3% to 25.4%, or, as we like to say in the biz, less than 1%. Therefore, what the statistics are showing is that it is not the decline of religion or the decline of Christianity in America. We are witnessing the decline of progressive Christianity, progressive religion in America. That's what's in sharp decline. Don't take my word for it. An article written, published in the National Review lately from David French, entitled, If You Want to Destroy Your Church, Follow a Liberal's Advice. He talks about how last summer, the Federalist Andrew Griswold noted that liberation, especially on matters of sexual morality, was the single best way to shrink your church. Hence the title of the article, If You Want to Destroy Your Church, Follow a Liberal's Advice. The numbers he conveys are startling. Few churches have been more aggressively inclusive than the Episcopal Church. Yet between 2002 and 2012, it lost 18.4% of its members, and its church attendance declined 24.4%, or as we like to say in the biz, nearly a quarter of the Episcopal Church walked away, or at least those who attended an Episcopal Church. Other inclusive churches have seen similar or worse declines. President Obama's denomination, United Church of Christ, UCC, not affiliated, by the way, with the Church of Christ, mind you, lost 20.4% of its members, nearly a fifth, in the 7 years after it voted to recognize same-sex marriage. The UCC is on pace to disappear within 30 years. But it is healthy compared to the Presbyterian Church, USA, which further liberalized its stance on sexuality in 2006 and redefined marriage in 2014. Between 2006 and 2013, the church lost 22.4% of its members and is now on pace to disappear entirely by 2037. Oh, by the way, it was on this program that I broke the story that those who are a part of these denominations are saying, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. In 20 years, you're not going to exist. Don't tell me it's not that bad. The decades-long reality of American spiritual life is the loss of spiritual consensus and the growth of two intellectually and theologically competitive cultural tribes, religious conservatives and secularists. As Griswold notes, culturally conservative churches such as the Assemblies of God and the Mormon Church have enjoyed strong growth. The Southern Baptist Convention, SBC, is now in the midst of a slight decline, but only after decades of spectacular growth allowed it to eclipse every other Protestant denomination, including every liberal mainline denomination combined. That's phenomenal. Yes, the nuns, or the nuns, are on the rise as well, with 46 million Americans identifying as religiously unaffiliated, according to the Pew Research Center. But, per Pew, these individuals are, quote, not looking for a religion that would be right for them. For the moment, they are not really longing for anything from church. Why do you think that is? Is it not because of the indistinct noise coming out of progressive or liberal, if you want to use that word, churches, liberal Christianity, progressive Christianity? That's what we're witnessing here in America. Not the disappearance or the decline of Christianity as a whole, but a decline and the disappearance of progressive Christianity. Catch this. Evangelicals have held their own with just a slight decline. Southern Baptists, same thing. Liberal progressive churches are on the decline, while conservative churches, those who tend to hold to conservative views concerning the Word of God and doctrine, have held their own. Those who hold the line are holding their own. Those who erase the line are disappearing. That's what we're witnessing. That's what all this data is all about. All the Pew Research business and all the emphasis on the millennials and everything. Why do you think millennials are walking away? It's because of the indistinct noise that's coming out of these progressive churches. And while we are witnessing the rise of secularism, you've got to understand that part of the reason we're seeing that is because of the attack and the assault on Christianity, especially these past 7 years. You've got to keep this in the larger context here. From 2007 to 2014, the numbers show that America is increasingly secular. Or, to say it another way, during our current president's tenure, during President Obama's time in office, there has been a rise in secularism, a rise in irreligious thought. There's got to be a connection there. At least I'm persuaded there is. He's the guy who ran on the platform to fundamentally transform America. Isn't that what he's done? Socially, economically, racially, and religiously? It would seem so. The non-religious, the unaffiliated, the secular, atheists, agnostics, apathetic, that has increased by, what is it, 7%, 16 to 23%, from 16% to 23% in the last 7 years? That's one percentage point every year. I would say that as far as President Obama is concerned with his fundamental transformation of America, mission accomplished. We are less religious now than when he took office. What other president can make that claim? Yeah, it would seem as though his tenure has been a success, at least as far as how he defined it, fundamentally transforming America. Listen, I know he's just one man. Yeah, you're right. While all of D.C. is culpable, he's the brightest star, okay? He's the most vocal voice. He makes a speech every day, okay? And under his tenure, with him at the helm, haven't we seen the assault and the attack on Christianity amp up all the more? With whether we're talking about war or gay marriage or abortion, Christians, we're outcasts because of our beliefs, especially if they're conservative beliefs. Now, if you're just ollie-ollie income-free and you're inclusive all around, you don't have to repent, you don't have to abandon any of your lifestyle practices, you're right, God will just accept you as you are, you don't have to change anything. Well, then no, you're not going to be an outcast. In fact, the world's going to speak well of you. However, it was Jesus who said, "Woe to you when all the world speaks well of you." It just seems to me that we ought to have a distinct message. In fact, one of these articles was talking about, about is Christianity dying? Interviewing Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Convention. He added that the report shows that there are more honest atheists in America today and that they are rejecting what Moore called almost Christianity, or traditions that jettison the historic teachings of the church as soon as they become unfashionable. That's exactly what we're witnessing. Exactly what many of these progressive branches of mainline Protestantism are, that's what they're doing. He added that the type of Christianity that simply reflects culture only lasts as long as it is useful to its host. That's because it's at root idolatry, and people turn from their idols when they stop sending rain. Now, here's the thing. Christianity's been under attack by this administration, by the present culture. But should we be surprised? I mean, hasn't it always been this way? Darkness hates light. The world hates those who follow Jesus. Jesus himself has told us all this. Don't be surprised that they hate you, because in the same way they hated me. Again, he told us that in John. So, in one sense, no, but it's just a shock to us because we're not used to it here in the good old U.S. of A. Other people around the world, they're used to this. In fact, meanwhile, in the Middle East, while we're, you know, many Christians, I don't want to overgeneralize here, but while many Christians are wringing their hands over this current Pew Research survey business, what are we going to do? Meanwhile, in the Middle East, ISIS forced women to undergo virginity restoration surgery 20 times after being raped by militants. Girls stripped naked and sold in sex slave bazaars. Hat tip Samuel Smith of the Christian Post, as it's been reported by the UN, by the way. No, there are Christians who are facing real persecution right now, today. This one woman had to undergo virginity restoration surgery 20 times. This is brutal. I can almost... What's that you're saying? How's that? You haven't heard this report yet? What, Yahoo News hasn't picked this up yet? You mean the mainstream secular progressive news outlets have left this out? About the religion of peace? Didn't you know that the religion of peace began as a religion of sex by a pedophile named Muhammad? Listen, his sexual exploits with prepubescent girls, that's well documented. And this, tragically, is the natural consequence when man invents his own religion. Just go ask Joseph Smith and the Mormons. Yeah, his sexual exploits are likewise well documented. And these poor women who are trapped in Mormonism, Islam, especially Islam here with these ISIS, and these women, these poor women are reaping the bitter harvest of the seeds of Islam that were planted by Muhammad centuries ago. The article reads in part, Abu Muhammad from Raqqa is being slaughtered, is being slaughtered silently. That's the name of his organization, Abu Muhammad. He told The Independent that ISIS fighters have a brutal, instinctive desire for sex. He added that the militants often buy their sex slaves kinky underwear and often purchase erectile dysfunction pills. And I can hear the pen, the ink from the pen, drying on the paper for the fatwa that's being written for my head just for reading what was reported. I'm sure there's some kind of bounty on my head over there already, but Abu Muhammad says, some women say that foreign fighters are the worst, like monsters. Some of them say they're asking for strange things. They're also looking to marry young girls. There you go. There's the Islam of today, religion of peace. Oh, Nick, you can't overgeneralize it. Well, okay, fine. Here's radical Islam in all of its naked glory. Literally. Welcome to the caliphate, where these Muslims, they're following the footsteps of their idol Muhammad, fulfilling all their sexual fantasies with sex slaves, forcing women to undergo virginity restoration surgery 20 times. And oh, by the way, how many of these women who are being brutalized are Christians? I wonder how many of them are Christians. And while we're at it, whatever happened to the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls, which our fearless leader, President Obama, and First Lady, especially Michelle Obama, they were so keen on this when Boko Haram kidnapped those 200 girls, what was it, over a year ago? Don't hear much about that anymore, do you? It's because it's just like with all of this progressive, liberal Christianity, symbolism trumps substance. Symbolism trumps substance. The president, he'll sign an executive order regarding illegals flooding our border, but he won't lift a finger to help those who are suffering at the hands of these Islamic fanatics. Suffering at the hands of those who practice the religion of sex. The religion of peace. Following the footsteps of the pedophile Muhammad. Yeah, prepubescent girls. Go back and read your Washington Irving, The Life of Muhammad. Go back and read about what all of his marriages. It's well documented. Now, to come back stateside, all this is connected, by the way. All this is connected. Because what you're seeing in America, what you're seeing in the world, evil people go from bad to worse, right? All who desire to live godly will be persecuted. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Evil people go from bad to worse, he says in verse 13. Yeah, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what we're witnessing here in the world. It does seem to be getting worse. It does seem to be getting darker. Perhaps even to a degree it's accelerating. It's not unlike what you read even in the Bible. Over in the book of Judges. Judges 17 verse 6. Also Judges 21 verse 25. Which are almost identical verbatim. How there was no king in Israel. And everybody did what they viewed as right in their own eyes. It reminds me of Proverbs 14, verse 12, also Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. There was no king in Israel. And by the way, you'll eventually end up with Saul and David and Solomon and all the whole lineage of kings. But is that what it's talking about there? You see, Israel was originally established as a theocracy where Yahweh was to be their king. And so when the writer writes that there was no king in Israel, what he is saying is Israel had rejected their king, Yahweh. And therefore, rather than following the edicts and the decrees, the law of the king, they were a law unto themselves, and were just kind of making it up as they went along. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's what progressive Christianity really is seeking to do. It's seeking to do what is right in their own eyes and establish a theocracy, not in a theocracy, well, I guess a theocracy, but self is God. Self has become the potentate. Again, I said it earlier, those who hold the line are holding their own. Those who erase the line are disappearing. Even two decades away from the elimination of one particular denomination. That's because man's depravity leads to insanity. That's right, sin will drive you crazy. And that's what, you won't hear that from progressive Christians. You won't hear that from liberal strain of Protestantism. They'll say, no, sin is just who you are. You were born that way. You can't help it. And so you're okay with God. But that's not what Scripture says. And I've chronicled exactly what Scripture says. Go back in the archives. You can hear all about it. The bottom line is, again, everyone's doing what they want to do. Your depravity will drive you to insanity and will make you believe crazy things. Like you can fellowship sin and still have fellowship with God. John says, not so fast. Not so fast. You can't fellowship darkness. You can't walk in darkness and claim to have fellowship with God. That's a moral lie. And I've dealt with that also just a couple of episodes ago. Go back and listen to that episode. I get questions from people about, does it seem like it's accelerating? Does it seem like it's getting darker? Yeah, it kind of does. But maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. How do you know when the end's finally upon us? I know people, you know, we even read earlier in the article about how some people think, yeah, the end's upon us and all that. I believe you get a glimpse of this in the book of Revelation, though not speaking. Listen, I know a lot of people shove the book of Revelation into the future, but I've taught on this before. Again, go back in the archives or click on the category section, Revelation, all the teachings there. This is not 2,000 years future, but there are principles here that we can distill that are informative for us today. In Revelation 18, where the fall of Babylon, which is a picture of Rome, where that fall is being pictured, one of the things that's being said here is that the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. This is verse 23 of Revelation 18. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. When you no longer hear the voice of the bride and the bridegroom, and by the way, that is highly figurative prophetic language to talk about Christ and his church. He's the bridegroom, the church is the bride. When you no longer hear the voice of the bride and the bridegroom, Christ and his church, watch out. Because that's when judgment, either in time, because God does judge nations in history, that's well chronicled in Scripture. I'll have to circle back to that at another time. He will either come on your nation in judgment, which could be yet future. Well, it is yet future, but it could be coming upon us very shortly here in America. Or when you no longer hear the voice of Christ and his church in the world at large, well, then maybe, just maybe, we're right there at the very end of this thing. Keep alert, stay awake, watch out, be on your guard. I think that's what Jesus would say. Don't give in and compromise with progressive Christianity. Hold the line. You erase it, you'll disappear. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Live from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Live from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All the question of the day segments there available for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Follow me on Twitter at InPulpit. At the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop at the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the Pulpit, wordpress.com. All my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Philippians, now Ephesians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search iTunes, the iTunes store, download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. Check out Mercy Center to Christ website, mercycenterchrist.org, mercycenterchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there as well to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.